You want to give us your rolling start then, Sean?
Yeah, righto. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Play It Up podcast.
Hello.
It just hit me as I was saying that it's episode 50, at least the 50th one we're recording.
Woo.
Will we call it episode 50? Wait and find out. That's good. A cliffhanger for you. Or will we save it for 51? Oh, interesting. Nobody
surprising.
Knows. Anyway,
I don't.
The date is the 26th of July, and it's 9:15 PM, and let's do it in PARP fashion. And we are coming to you from Brisbane, Queensland, Australia, all of us. So
yep.
How are we, guys? How are you, Dennis?
Good, thank you. Good. Mikey, how are you?
Yeah, good. Relaxed. How about yourself, Neil?
Oh, the Brady Bunch.
Yeah. And you, Sean, back to you, sir.
Oh, back to me in the studio. I'm fantastic. Fantastic. That was smooth.
Nice
work. Didn't even practice that. Yeah. Oh, I love it. What's going on, fellas? We all just finished...
BPacking.
Yeah, buddy. And Denny's packing up.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Ooh,
sure,
baby.
Sure is. I was there yesterday still. Still packing up shit. And there's an equal amount of any amount of time that goes into the setup of BPAC, then it equally also goes into the packing up as well and giving the good people of BrewDog all of their space back, which is pretty important considering the event finishes on the Sunday, and on the Monday they have a heap of deliveries to take and they have outgoing as well. So we've got a clear way for them. And if we don't, they will. So we go in and make life easy for each other.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I got a CRT to pick up tomorrow night.
Yeah, me too. I forgot about my trainee.
I might see
you there. Oh.
I probably should have tried to organize you guys picking them up. I'm not sure. Oops. But it's been organized. It seems.
You organized a great event.
Sort of.
I tried.
Yeah.
I picked up my trainee and then I was like, ah.
Fuck everyone else.
You should figure yourself out, you dogs. I just didn't really. I don't know. I've been just working since BPAC, so I don't know. My brain's been in that, I guess. But
sorry
still,
to
no
hear
excuse.
That.
I'll do better.
It was a crazy 12 days of nonstop pinball and arcade action. Everyone's brain is fried after that.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I'm feeling pretty much back to normal now. But it was fantastic. It was fantastic.
Yeah, actually, that's a fantastic lead in. Thank you. So, Sean, your last BPAC was 2019, which was AKO3. So, now coming back in, where you have, what was your take overall on all of the events and the way everything went? Did it to fulfill all of your Kong Off and BPAC dreams?
My fantasies were fulfilled. It was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like just walking in there and seeing the sheer size of it, and also just the awesome smell of beer being brewed. I was like, this is heaven. And being able to help set it up to see it sort of become what it was. It was almost pretty much finished by the time I actually got to come in. But still, getting to see part of it set up was really cool too, and being part of setting small part of it up with the Nintendo 64 stuff was really cool. And yeah, it was maybe like what, 5-6 times the size of the Ecker, which was the last one I was at. And I'm not sure, but it was much bigger.
It's grown a bit since then.
Yeah, just a little.
Yeah.
And like our own bar and our outdoor seating area and
Phil Day's couch as well.
Phil Day's couch.
Yeah. Our own pizza oven out the back as well.
Yep. We had our presentation stage for the N64 events as well, which was pretty awesome. And our little boiler room tent for all of the head-to-heads in the N64 comp, which was mad. Great fun.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so good. Yeah, Denny, you helped me with that stage, man. That wasn't my idea at all. That was yours and or Jimmy's.
I maintain it was Jimmy's idea.
I think it was yours.
No.
But it was really good. That like made the whole event so much better. I had somewhere to present and stand up so everyone could see and hear me.
Mm.
And we had somewhere nice to stream. And that stayed there until the end of BPAC after that.
Yeah, it was cool. I reckon it'd probably be a permanent fixture from this point when we do all of our announcing. I don't know why we didn't have a stage to begin with, but now that we've got one with all the banners and everything, it looks mad. So hopefully we continue really, it.
Beautiful centerpiece, hey? Like, and it didn't get in the way at all. Yeah. And yeah, it was just solid.
So many people used it for photos, like just on Facebook and stuff, like, you know, people having their awards and stuff. Yeah, everyone used that stage. It was really cool.
Yeah, it was great.
That was you, Dennis. That was you, mate. Well fucking done, mate.
Legend.
Ugh.
I'm just going to grab it.
They call him Denny BPAC.
They don't, but that's okay. I'm just going to grab a beer, sorry.
Yep.
Oh. That's all right, bud.
But yeah, I mean, prior to the stage, it was just the big scissor lift and a banner, and that was it. There was nothing else. You know, there was some arcade cabs at some point in front of it, but it became a whole new thing when that stage arrived there. And and the banners on the side went up because it became tied together.
Even if it could stay there and be the same spot, you know how Phil had his couch and everything.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh man, I've got to get my coffee table back. That just reminds me. Phil has the.
I'll grab it for you next time I'm there.
It's beer now, Sean.
It's
just chucked it in the brewery.
It's beer now. Well,
this pale ale tastes a bit like a coffee table from the 1990s. Got notes of varnish. Delicious. That'd be cool, Denny, if you can, if there's space, man. But if not, I'll just swing by. I got the next 4 days off, so.
Oh.
Pretty pumped about that.
Us.
Us. Yeah, but Phil could sit on that stage in the middle of the arcades and still commentate on Hung Off.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That'd be perfect. And then, the scissor lift behind it, it doesn't stop that from happening because the scissor lift is much higher.
Mm.
So.
Should we talk about something important before we roll into the rest of the events, if that's cool? I'd like to acknowledge one of us getting an ANZAP award for their induction, for being an amazing fucking human being and a world record setting son of a bitch. Neil, congratulations. You're an amazing man.
Yeah, thanks, Dennis. Hell yeah. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Mate.
Oh, standing ovation. Look at that.
Yep.
Oh, no. I'm not wearing pants.
Oh, yes. Oh,
yes.
Damn. Oh, yeah. Now the show's getting started.
Classic.
Yeah. No, it was...
so good.
I was a bit lost for... Well, I wasn't lost for words. I was rambling a bit too much when I got up there, but...
Really? I was actually hoping for an extra 30-odd seconds out of you, Neil, because...
Yeah.
It was...
It wasn't long enough.
Yeah. I wanted more.
Yeah, it was I started to choke up a bit, to be honest. So I think I call it quits. But kind of getting the award, especially when I was talking about setting live records and stuff and how much goes into those and like how much support you get in regards to them. Like Dennis and JB sat down there for 3 days watching me do Ghosts and Goblins and you know, Jimmy and John McNeil at the start, helping me with streams and TG. And yeah, there's just heaps of people. Like, I can go on forever, but like Mark Bell gave me his board so I can set Ghosts and Goblins. And like, I knew him from the community and talking to him online. So for someone to like send me a $1,000 board, you know,
it's pretty rad.
Up from Sydney is just, you know, crazy. So yeah, yep. No, it was very
young. Gobby bros do for each other.
Yep.
Yeah. It was a really cool experience, and it's such an honor. So yeah, thanks guys.
Yeah, it was fantastic. For all of our listeners, ANZAP is an organization that is an acronym for the Australian New Zealand Arcade Pinball Community, and that we celebrate the achievements of the people in our community and their contributions towards video gaming culture and pinball culture in Australia and New Zealand. So Neil was recognized as making a significant contribution to the scene here in Australia and New Zealand. And this was recognized with an induction into the ANZAP Hall of Fame. So the first of us in Play It Up podcast, and incredibly, incredibly well-deserved. And yeah, I was very proud to see a mate of mine get that level of recognition. And yeah, it was, I understand you feeling like you're a little choked up, like, even with Boner sitting there with his arm around me, whispering things about Nibbler in my ear, I was still so happy to watch you, to watch, and yeah, it was great.
Yeah, it was a really special moment, and to get inducted with Michael Kibbe as well. So he's done a fair bit in the community with his Donkey Kong skills. I think he's reached the rank D of Donkey Kong for what is it, Crazy Kong, Donkey Kong 3, Donkey Kong Jr. and Donkey Kong.
Yep.
And then he also had the world record for Nibbler on MAME and Arcade, actually. Mm. So
yep.
Absolute beast of a player. So
huge competitor in the and is it the Yo-Olympics online?
Olympics.
And the games they play and the level of competition in that it's pretty intense. So he's a very talented, accomplished person in his in whatever games he chooses to play. One of those talented people that you just can't stand because he's just so naturally talented. The rest of us have to work for it.
Yeah, definitely.
What a bastard.
Mm. Congrats, Kibbe, as well, and that there were a few others as well. I think Richard Rhodes was another gentleman that got induction. I believe Rob McCauley did as well, but Rob wasn't actually there at that point. I think during the presentation ceremony, he was still waiting to jump a flight from Adelaide to Brisbane, so he couldn't make it. But Rob, sir, congratulations. Incredibly well-deserved. And there were a few others as well that just elude me at this point in time. No less deserving, but
Andrew Barrow and Paul Hanitsky on the
that's what I was trying to think of. Yeah. And of course Barrow, of course. But I believe Barrow was already aware of his induction into the Hall of Fame, but he got his medallion as well with everybody else during the presentation ceremony, which was incredibly well put together. We were upstairs at BrewDog in their office, and we had the red carpet rolled out, and we all had it standing there with our glasses of champagne. And Phil and Jimmy suited up. It was also good to see Jimmy get his recognition too. And
there was Danielle Peck, David Peck, and Yi Fong as well. But just looking on Facebook at the Hawke's Bay pinball page, because I Googled ANZAP. So I wanted to make sure the website was right. So ANZAP.org, if anyone wants to check that out. That should be updated with some pictures and video from the ceremony, I would say, at some point.
Yeah, by me at some point. I'm the webmaster for that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So whenever I get my ass around to it, what are you doing? You dog. Yeah, I'll get around to it.
Call yourself a webmaster.
How are you not doing cartoon voices?
I would if someone asked me to. I just can't do the cartoon myself. Oh, mate. I'm just fucking around anyway.
Yeah.
That'll be cool when that's all sorted and like the Kong off video that Dak's going to make. Heck yeah.
Yeah. If it's anything like the Tetris Grandmaster ad that he did, I'm sure it'll be something special. I think from the ANZAP awards ceremony that took place and all of the very worthy recipients, we then all headed downstairs and went into the level 3 comp for Donkey Kong. So I think 1, 2, and 3 on that was Tekio followed by Barra, and then Shane?
Shane-O. Yeah, that's what we've got on our sheet.
That's Matt great. Barra. I'm not even looking at that.
Oh, good memory, Matt.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Pretty cool event. Always Congrats. Is the level 3 comp. Good fun.
Definitely,
and good to see everybody.
Good esport. Yeah. Did compared you? To Kong Off, I think it's a much better esport, like spectator sport. Spectator esport, I'd say. Yeah. Like competing wise, it was, and it's not as tense either. You can really like loosen up a bit because not many people practice Kong that way, except the guys going for like the 1,000,000+ scores. And even then, you have to remember not to clear level 3, which two of the 4 of us here did.
If I had got there, I would have done the same. Don't worry. I have no comprehension.
You didn't even get there.
No, I have no comprehension. If I had, I still wouldn't have. You know, I was just like, finished it, no worries, and just thought, am I still level 3? Oh, who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know what screen I'm on.
I'm just running boards.
L equals at the top right, Mike.
Yeah, but like it's going to say that for a couple of screens. I don't know what couple of screens they are for 03. When does it change to 04? I don't know. Yeah. I don't play it enough to know these things.
End of rivets is usually the where the levels change over. But yeah,
rivets is always the last.
How many rivet screens in LO3?
Just one.
One. There's one on every.
Oh,
level.
Really?
It's only.
Oh, okay, that makes things easier to remember.
How do you have such a good score on Donkey Kong and not know that?
Why would I need to? Like, it's just I'm just clearing screens when I'm getting scores. I'm not thinking about spirit. What's...
Yeah.
You're just such an organized bloke.
Doesn't need to know these things, Sean.
Yeah.
I'll just play the game, eh? I don't fucking care what level it is.
That's it.
Yeah.
Did you guys do well in the comp? I did pretty shit.
I don't remember. I remember being tired and grumpy.
Yeah, I think I was 2-2 as well, Sean. Eh? Yeah.
Yeah, right. I had Tanya and then...
I think I was 0-2. I think I struck out pretty much straight away.
Yeah, same.
Oh, man.
That was fine. I got to hang out and drink beers and talk to everyone. It's what I wanted anyway. It's the only reason I'm there. I don't even care.
And Dennis, isn't it amazing, like, after all the setup and all the preparation, you get to that point where you're at the comp, and then the comp, you're out, and then all of a sudden you're like, wow, there's nothing to do but actually hang out, stop doing things, and chill for a bit.
Until you have Tekio point you out and go, you, the right hand joystick doesn't work. You need to do something Tekio. About that. I'm like, every 10th movement, it doesn't do it. What? That's part of the fun of being attacked. Yeah. but that's kind of why like we do level 3 comp as well. Like not the main reason, but it is a reason that we have the little comp before the big comp before qualifiers when that sort of stuff's really important. So
true.
Stands to reason that.
Are you guys getting any? Sorry to cut you off. Are you guys getting that background noise of Michelle making a fucking racket in the kitchen?
Nope.
No.
Okay, cool. I'm pretty sure she saw a cockroach because I heard her scream. And now she's like
playing the drums in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Sweet.
All right, sorry, I didn't want to cut you off. Just
that's okay. Heading into, was there anything that you guys wanted to cover with the level 3 comp, or should we start talking about qualifiers? Because some stuff happened then.
Yeah, move on.
I'm just looking forward to next year. That's all. I've really enjoyed this level 3 comp and would love to
already
get better at it. Yeah, not fuck it up next time.
And the Kong Off Juniors comp as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll talk about that too.
Mm.
All right.
Let's go to qualifying day.
Qualls, yeah. Big day. Especially, I didn't know if I was going to have the chance to qualify properly because my brother decided he wanted to get married that day.
Yeah.
Oh. It was an engagement. I know, the bastard. Hide.
Just... AFL Grand Final.
That Donkey Kong is trying to marry Pauline that day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Right? AFL Grand Final, Australian Kong off.
Yeah.
Come on, mate. and he didn't, well, he did actually check with me, but I was think I was still in Germany at the time and I didn't
Man.
Knew what date Kong off would be. Yeah, man. Of course I'll be there. Also, at that time, it was an engagement party.
Brother.
And then they were like, oh, surprise. It's a. I knew beforehand that it was going to be a wedding, so I was going to help sneak him away to get changed. But they didn't end up doing that. And yeah, but they did get married that day. It was really nice. Very chill as far as weddings go, which I think was part of the reason they wanted to do it that way.
Classic.
They've got kidlets and a couple of dogs. So, you know, life's busy for them. But then that wrapped up. Like, I came early in the morning as soon as I could.
Oh,
yeah.
That's what Neil's mum said, too.
Well, yeah. Well, that might be with the mum joke. Oh.
Fuck it.
He's so wide open for that one.
Yeah. Early as she can, every time.
Oh.
And then coffee. That's first.
Priorities.
Yeah. So I got there early, had time for one game, had to duck off at like 11, went to the wedding engagement party and then headed back as soon as I could. So went back to my brother's place afterwards. People were leaving. They were getting tired. I was like, is that that time? Is it? So got out of there at, you know, a respectful but reasonable time. I think I got back around 7:30 or something, back to Kong off and had like, and maybe a six even, like maybe, you know, I can't remember, but I had a few hours. I think I had like 4 hours from memory. Maybe it was seven.
Hmm.
And yeah, I had a few games and then I think I was sitting on 400 and something and I was in the top 16, but I was barely in. And then I sat down for my last game and I thought you could play out your last game, but it was actually a hard cutoff at 11, which was fine because I was at 580,000, I think, at that point on my first man.
It didn't hurt that you had like to snap it off.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly.
First man.
Yeah, so I was first man was like 600K, and then I was all out for 770, which isn't too bad.
That's insane.
But I did lose three lives quickly.
That's still a hella good game, though. That's really good.
Mm. Second best game ever, best game on arcade machine. So I was pretty happy with that.
I was standing there at the cutoff of 11, and we took the photo of Sean's score at 11 on the dot, and that was the score that was entered. But then he kept on playing through until tried to get a kill screen. I think it was like 19, level 19 somewhere that you got to, wasn't it? 19.6 or something?
I think it was even level 20.
Was it?
That I died on.
Oh.
Yeah, because then maybe
it would have been maybe level 20.
Yeah, I got trapped by, well, first off, one fireball was holding me back from getting straight to the top on barrels. And then two other dickheads came to join the party and I was just sandwiched and I just like kind of threw my hands up and did my best, but there was no time to like wait any longer.
Yep, that board was came up.
I didn't even know if it was possible. That board was came up. That board was...
It was Hungry Jack. It was Hungry Jack's.
SNES.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was cooked. But that's all right. 770. First man. Best
Solid.
Best man ever. Best man ever, maybe? Apart from Neil. He's the best man I've ever had.
Yep.
So... Oh.
Still here.
our favorite, Spectard.
The... I saw that redab. I was like, wow, that's pretty good. I had a good first game on qualifying day. We all sat down from Coindrop and I was actually pretty surprised when I put my score in. I was expecting that there would have been a lot more competition from the four horsemen, but there wasn't. And for a few hours, I was on top of the score chart for qualifiers with 634 to 200, maybe something. Yep. I don't know, which was pretty damn good. Just from first drop, and had a decent game straight up. So then it freed me up to do some work for the Ultimate Punch comp that was actually at 5 o'clock that evening, and I was behind with. So it was actually kind of a relief. I got to fuck off and go and do that. It was great to get in a good game. I really wanted a kill screen at Kong off this year, and disappointment for me was not being able to do that in front of all of my mates. And that still hurts a bit, because I wanted to actually sit there and play all day, but I just couldn't. I had volunteer shit that I had to do, tech stuff. So that took priority, and I knew that it was going to be enough to get me in for the finals. So I made the decision to just go with that score. And I had a couple of games later on, I think around the same time you did, Sean, but it was nowhere near as good as what I did first game up. So I just went with that.
Yeah, you were in form, man. I remember after I finished my game, looked at yours, and I think you might have still been on your first man over 200K, maybe even 300K by that point.
But yeah, I think I had like 430 something first man. Yeah. Did almost another 200K on the rest of the playing field, which is good.
Definitely.
Fuck yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kill screens coming any day now, buddy.
It's whatever I keep saying. It's not here yet. It's getting impatient. Wow. But yeah, no, I'm playing well, so I'll just keep playing and whatever.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so Mikey, Neil, how did you guys go with your qualifiers and scores?
Yeah. Do you want to roll first, Neil? I'll go next.
Yeah. So I really struggled on the day qualifying. Every game, I played 4 or 5 games to try and qualify, and then was able to crack it with my 6. So, but I was starting to feel the pressure, because I was doing kind of like a game an hour. So that's like 5 or 6 games into the competition. I finally got a good game happening, which was like, so I was hitting about like 370 pretty consistently. It was just like I felt a lot of pressure, because I kind of feel like I had a pretty good lead up to the Kong off in regards to my games. I had a couple of kill screens at Netherworld and stuff like that. As soon as I had the game where I had all my four men and I was over the 400 mark, I kind of knew that I was in like that top 16. And like, I literally felt the wave of pressure just fall off my shoulders and was able to relax. And I got a good score at the end. So I got 714. That's pretty good. Comfortably in the qualifying ranks. So I think that ended me qualifying at 7th place, which is insane when you think about it, that a score like that will only get you at 7th. So, that was my experience. What about you, Mikey?
Yeah, I went in with very low expectations into qualifying. I definitely hadn't been practicing at all, really. I'd maybe get one credit at Netherworld once a week, maybe once every 2 weeks, depending on what's going on. So I hadn't been over 300,000 points in a game since last qualifying, so that was literally my only aim for this qualifying. I sort of knew that it wouldn't get me into the top 16, but I managed to crack a game that was 360 or something thousand points, and I was pretty happy with that, yeah. But then also during the qualifying, we held the first Australian Kong Off Juniors competition, the under 16s Donkey Kong Championships of Australia. It was we weren't sure what to expect. It was a bit of a brainchild between Danny Fazakali and myself, and And then Jimmy added a bit of guidance, and so we had this little comp set up just behind all the main qualifying machines in front of the scissor lift with three low boys running Donkey Kong. And it ended up being pretty popular with a couple of kids. We had 9. Let me just check the standings real quick. We had 8 entrants during the day. So 2 of those were kids of fellow Kongers who were playing at the day. And the others were just walk-ins who were coming in to spectate with the families. The people at the front at the merch desk were very helpful in saying, hey, there's a free Donkey Kong for kids competition happening just over the back there. Go and see the guy in the hat and he'll,
Go sort you out, yeah.
You join up, yeah, get your free swag bag. And, it was really, really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
The old swag bag trick.
It was a great, great little comp. The kids smashed out Donkey Kong for a good 3 hours or so. With a crew of 8, that was definitely more than enough time to get a gauge on the scores that the kids could max out on for a kid.
It goes to show how enthused the kids were for it as well, because these days it's hard to keep a kid busy for 5 minutes, let alone 3 hours. And so, keep the little ones busy for that time frame was amazing. It was really cool.
Yeah, it was great. And there was some sibling rivalry happening as well, because the family came in with 3 kids. They had 2 sons and a little girl. And the little girl was pushing as hard as she could to beat her little brother, and she did. She ended up beating him.
Wow.
She was very stoked about that. She's now the highest ranking under 16s female Australian Donkey Kong player.
Ah, that's amazing. That's
maybe great. In the world.
That was Elise, possibly, yeah. So that was Elsie, not Elise. Yeah. So at the end of the comp, we had Aaron Rayner's son, Tide. He came in at first place with 75,900 points.
Nice.
In a smooth second place, we had Dennis's young fella, Henry.
Yeah, Henry.
He managed to smash
Hen
out
dog.
A 17,000 point game.
Not bad for a 7-year-old playing against a 16-year-old kid. Is Tyke's 15 or something?
He's 15, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That was his last chance of doing his only chance of doing the under 16s comp.
Yeah.
And then in third place,
he's already taller than Aaron as well.
Yeah.
Yes. And in third place, we had Alfie, who was one of the 3 siblings that came along with her family, just coming to spectate, who had joined in.
Yep.
And he got a 15,500 point score. Yep.
Close on Henry Boy's heels. That.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Man.
Wow.
That's it. And then after the juniors comp, I jumped on for another few games here and there and just couldn't beat my 360, whatever it is, 1,000 point score. And that was my day, and kicked off and had some drinks.
Yep.
That was it.
What did you qualify at, Mikey? What rank?
Oh, God. God knows.
18th or something, wasn't it?
I didn't. I don't know. Man. It was low.
Yeah, it was. It was close. Like, I think that you're either 17th or 18th at that point. I was expecting some Mikey magic from last year, where we did the one last game to push through into the qualifiers and knock somebody else out of contention. But wasn't meant to be this year, and that's okay. You got to give everyone else a chance too, Mike, you know. So.
And it was it.
Yeah.
I wish I could have pulled something off, but no, that was it.
It's all good. Yep. And so that was pretty much us for qualifiers day, I guess, which led us into finals. And the following day, that was pretty, eventful as well. There was a first, which if you guys are okay for me to talk about we had the first tie in Kong of history. My game versus Tagster. I think we were at about 298, 300 or around about there.
Might have been 289, 300.
Oh, was it 280? Okay. Doesn't matter. That's okay. Whatever. Yeah.
Something with those digits.
Yeah. Yeah. It was close to 300, but not quite. First game, it was a very nervous first game for me. I had a lot of anxiety going into that comp. I was on cab 1, so I was right at the end of the row, and it was very, very distracting being at the end of the Kong row with the other competition starting and the other players milling around and that sort of stuff. And that they're in your peripherals the whole time. Yeah, making a racket, doing weird stuff, and all the noises and stuff. Just it made me really anxious. My first two deaths were just, I don't even remember. But I didn't play anywhere near as well as I did the previous day where I got to where I did. So I was upset. I think my deaths were, I had a barrel go under my hammer on barrels.
Those are the worst.
I fell through a rivet hole. Another one.
I did that twice in qualifying.
I kicked a pie. And in the end, I died by walking into a spring. So those four deaths were like just the four worst ways that you can die. And so
I think they are the four worst, man.
So I walked off just, I'd say stormed off probably, just disappointed with myself. I had to go outside and I saw Neil and told him the score. And he's like, it was very reassuring of you, Neil. Say, look, you know, the contest isn't over yet. Don't doubt yourself. And that I think at that point, Taxer, who I was playing against, still had to catch up with us. And I was like, nah, Taxer's a great player. He's got this in the bag. I'm just waiting for my own extinction. And so I walked back in anyway, and I was just milling around where the classic arcade cabs were and just sitting against Helifire, just watching Tagster over my shoulder, because I didn't want to like stand right there in his peripheral so he could see me in the bezel. I feel like that's a bit cheap. I didn't want to do that. But yeah, I heard everyone was getting really excited towards the end of the when Tagster actually finished his game, which I didn't know at that point, but everyone's like, oh, it's getting close. And then everyone just made this really weird noise. And like, like I was standing there and it was like a gasp, like, and then someone went, I was like, what the fuck just happened? And I walked over and Tax is just sitting there laughing. Like while he gets up, he turns around, he's like, you wouldn't fucking believe it. And I was like, congratulations, man. Good game. I'm sure that you got me. And he's like, no, we drew. Yep. I was like, fuck off. We fucking draw. And he's like, no, no. Look at the... And so I looked at my score and I looked at his. And I was,
look at it.
It's crazy.
I had to do a double take. Like, that's the same score. And yeah, so we're both just standing crazy. There, just commiserating each other like, oh boy, what happens now?
Yeah.
It's literally like a 1 in a million chance of that happening.
There's no point in buying lotto. There's no point buying lotto tickets now. My karma's been spent on fucking tying at Kong off. We weren't really sure what to do, and I think everyone's like, "You're gonna have to replay it." And then Jimmy came up and it's like, "Yeah, you guys have to play again." So we didn't really waste any time.
Even thought about that.
Hey, yeah, like, why would you? It just when's that going to happen? So
maybe next time they'll do like a all right level 5 or level 3 comp to decide it. But I kind of like that you have to play again.
I kind of like the fact that it was like just it was completely done again, and that we had to shoot it out one more time, because I feel like it would be unfair in a way to. I mean, like, it's probably never going to happen again. Like,
no,
no way.
We won't have to worry about it. But it would suck if it changed like to like a first man death or something, because it can, that completely changes the game that you're playing.
Yeah, it does.
It does. Yeah.
So
that's true.
We played that out, and I sort of just did my strat of running boards and just tried to run as fast as I could, because my strat was that I know that the difficulty timer scales up the longer that you're on a board, and so I wanted to get my ass off of these boards as quickly as I could and just collect bonus timer points and get through it as quickly as I can, and that was my strat. It kind of worked. Like, I think I ended up getting maybe 60 or 70K ahead of Tagster by the time I was all men out, which was around about the 400 mark from memory. I can't remember. It was all a blur, but yeah. And then Tagster came pretty close, but didn't quite get there. And so that was it. And I was into the next round. So that was very exciting, guys. Yourselves, Neil, Sean, how did you guys go?
You go, Neil.
Yeah. I was actually nervous really going in because I was up against Alan Stahl, who's a very good head-to-head player.
He's a great competition player, yeah.
Yeah, so I kind of knew I was up against it a bit, even though I was the highest seed. Alan had a really rough day of qualifying on the Saturday, so just things weren't going his way. But,
should have used the bridge technique.
True. Going into the game and actually playing the game, I started to feel much more comfortable, and like it was I was at about 180, I think, with all my men when Alan bombed out. So I believe he might have died on the first board. But like, I try not to listen out for lives anymore because you don't know exactly where they're coming from. But yeah, he walked off at about the 180K mark, and I was able to get through.
Very nice.
Yeah.
That's one of the gods of Kong taken out.
Yeah, he's one of the four horsemen. Beast.
Speaking of the four horsemen, who did you come up against, Sean?
Oh, yeah, my description of finals day will be very quick. I got Shane Saul. I got 270K, I think. And
Shane Swole, if you ask Jeff. Calling him Shane Swole. I just imagine Shane, but really cut.
Yeah. Pretty awesome. So basically he flexed and destroyed me.
Yep.
And, he did lose two lives. So it wasn't like a complete...
Wasn't a whitewash.
Nah. And then I can't even remember my deaths. I'm sure there was like a couple that were rough and a couple that were at least a couple that were my fault. So,
yep.
Yeah, that was me. And I was like, all right, fair enough. Shane, what can you do? He's like the most prolific form of competitor that there is in terms of wins and losses and how many times he's made of finals. He's made 4 out of 6 finals, I believe.
Oh my God.
Yep.
Yeah.
No one else has done that. I thought, well,
so consistent, crazy.
Yeah, man, ridiculous.
Yeah. So, how are you feeling? Like, you were nervous going into it, then playing up against Shane, or did you just feel like you just wanted to give it your best shot and see what happens, or like, did you have a plan going into it?
No, just play my normal game. Try to be safe. Get the extra points where I can. So. Point press on basically the first 5 levels as much as possible with the safe point pressing. No craziness like bottom hammer or anything like craziness for me. So I wasn't really nervous because I didn't really expect to win. And I think if I didn't have that pressure on myself, so a little bit of nerves, but once I got into it, I was like, yeah, this is pretty cool. I was sitting next to Kibby. That was, what a comforting presence that was. So it was fine. Give me a Shane. Like you said, Denny, like you were right on the end. When you're sort of surrounded and you're just like Kong players either side, you can kind of zone in a bit easier.
Man, it was very distracting. So, yeah, hopefully I don't get cabinet number one again because that sucks. And not to mention as well, and probably the biggest point that I completely forgot to mention was that you're on camera. So you're sitting there and you've got like the whole, everyone's like, yeah, they get the whole Kong row from the camera, I think, but then like you're first there. So it's like the side of your melon and all the Kong cabs. So you have to sit there and like try and pretend like there's not like a couple of hundred people watching you on Twitch going, who's that guy?
And don't forget, Danny, there's some pinball machines, some old EM machines directly behind the pinball cabs without any backs on them. So the audio and the noise of those solenoids cracking off comes straight to us.
Yeah, it's hot. Yeah.
It was loud. This is fucking buzzing and zapping and fucking cracking and banging. I'm like, whoa, holy shit.
Love it. Yeah,
it's the beauty and mayhem of a live event.
Yeah, that's playing in a live event. Yeah, true. But having the backs on the machines probably would have made it better. But so that was
about old mate putting his feet on the friggin' streaming table. Don't do that, mate.
Make yourself at home. Fucking hang out. Yeah. Doesn't matter. But
sit there. Fair enough.
We'll work something out next year. I don't know. Anywho,
so just around the grounds, the other competition. So Andrew Barrow knocked out Danny Pizzacoli. Sean tagged Dennis Edmonds. We did that one. Michael Kibbe lost to Michael Edwards in the Nibbler Off.
Oh yeah, the Nibble Off. Yeah.
Jeff Sutter defeated Greg Pell. Matt Tecchio defeated Aaron Raynor, and Pat Silver lost to Luke Bushell.
Mm. That was an upset seeing Patty get knocked out. He is a competitor and a half, and yeah, Busho always puts up a strong game. So it was a pretty cool matchup, and yeah, Busho came out on top. So yeah, Luke,
really huge, glad. But... Yeah, it was awesome that he could make it. He didn't think he was going to make it out.
So good to see him.
Came super late to qualifying, so it was awesome that he was able to put up a quick game and then make qualifying and make the second day. So
yeah.
I was on a cab and Bushell came up behind me out of nowhere and said something where I knew it was him.
Like, put that up your neck?
Score your dog. But it was something a bit more rude that me and him say. Probably not what people are thinking, but yeah, it was really funny. It's like, oh, you fucking me, you made it. It was awesome.
Yeah. So it was a shame to see Pat Silver get knocked out, but I know that he'll take that as fuel for next year and that he'll come back bigger and better anyway. So you won't knock Patty out of it, not for long. He's too much of a competitor. God tier. So that was that round, Neil.
Yep, so then I came up against Jeff Sutter. So I knew I was in for a hell of a challenge because Jeff's been pulling up like heaps of kill screens before this Kong off. Like he's literally been practicing that a part of his game. We battled it out. He put up a score of 590 and... he died then, but because he's so good at and been practicing kill screens, he can run boards really fast. So I'm a pretty quick player. I'm slower when I play in the Kong offs on springs. But other than that, I'm actually pretty fast. But he put up without knowing his score at the time because I didn't check. But he put up about 90K on top of my score. I had to chase him down and successfully did so, which was really exciting. I felt really calm doing the chase down, but it was actually a really good experience. So
what a moment.
Oh, it was crazy. It was... As soon as I had done what I needed to do, like I can't describe the feeling, but like I was shaking, so much, and yeah, it was crazy. But it was awesome to get the win against Jeff, who's he's certainly an awesome player. So
he was almost the favorite, like him, Barrett, Tecchio, and Shane, and Alan, like.
Yeah,
they were the kind of the five favorites, and chased him down good.
Yeah, and how'd you go, Dennis?
I don't think about getting over this without talking about where's the beef.
Yeah,
well, that hasn't happened yet.
Oh,
yeah, that was next
that
round.
Was a different match. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. There's beef incoming.
So I look where. We're running short on time, so long story short, I got Barra. So that was that, pretty much. I set something respectable, and I got hunted down and destroyed. Yep. So yeah, it was fucking classic. Yeah. So yeah, and that was me.
Happened to me in first round of AAC, Danny. Don't worry. To all of us. Just Barrett first round. Oh, that's great.
Everyone gets Barrett.
One of the best arcade players in the world.
You got Barrett barreled over.
I did.
Oh,
loved every minute of it.
Oh yeah.
Ooh, oh. Yeah. So that was me. It was done. Anyway,
your Dutch.
Yeah. So the other games was Shane Saul defeated Michael Edwards, and Matt Tecchio defeated Luke Bushell.
Yes.
So that put me into the top four.
Yeah, into the semis. Yeah.
Yeah, which was crazy. With all the other players around there, like, I definitely felt way out of my depth. I came up against Matt Tecchio. And I was still shaking from the last game. I was still trying to compose myself after what happened, because like it was like a massive celebration. Actually, one thing I'll mention about that last game with Jeff Sutter is that nobody actually tapped me on the shoulder when my game was done. There was just like a big roar from behind me. Like, everyone clapped and cheered. And I'm did something happen with the pinball, or did something am I supposed to continue playing? No. But yeah, anyway, that was crazy. Just
so what did you do?
I looked at his score and I found out that I'd beaten him. But I was purposely not looking at his score because I didn't want to put that off my game.
Yep.
Jimmy was like, came up to me 10 minutes after defeating Jeff, and was like, "Are you ready to play?" And I was like, I was still shaking and stuff like that. I was like, "Dude, just
no.
please give me another 5 minutes." And he was like, "Yeah, that's fine." So he gave me 5 minutes, but I knew I couldn't delay it any longer. But my mind wasn't in the right headspace to play Matt. That's not taking it away from Matt Tecchio at all. I put up a score of 330, and he quickly chased that down after a bit of a shaky start, actually. He was on his last man when he did that. But
that was bugger. He only needs one bloody man. That's all he ever needs.
So
chased it down ever so slowly the way
definitely. So I was out of the competition, but I think I learned a lot from this year, and just like I'm definitely going to be better off for the experience. I was really stoked with fourth, and that's way better than I thought I could do. So yeah,
it's amazing.
So then Andrew Barrow played Shane Saul and beat Shane. And then I played Shane in the place for third. So third and fourth playoff. This is the where's the beef moment. I don't know what you want me to say.
You don't need to say anything. It's
Did you find the beef?
I found the beef. Yeah,
you did.
So I was having a real. I cooked a board. I cooked it bad. So like that pie board. I accidentally ran to the right too soon and let one of the fireballs come out on the right hand side instead of the left.
Yeah.
I feel that. Anyway, I was running out of time and none of them were going up. So I had to run hard to the left and I jumped a fireball and a pie at the same time.
Yes, you did.
And then I jumped again to evade the fireball again, and was lucky enough that another pie didn't come through. The next moment, I don't know what took over my body, but I stood up and screamed at the top of my lungs, "Where's the beef?" Because it was fucking clutch. It was zero on the timer. I had to do it, and it worked. I couldn't believe it. Yeah.
It was an amazing move. I didn't even know it was possible.
Could have been.
Jump a fireball up there.
An almost yellow card incident for Neil. Where's the beef cans?
Yeah. I actually knew at the time like that I fucked up when I sat back down. I was like, if I've put Shane off it in any way, I'm more than happy to forfeit the match.
Well,
so, yeah.
What a way to go out.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't have to at the end. I bombed out at 360 and Shane was already there. So, yeah, that was my Kong off experience.
Freaking awesome. On that note, I'm going to leave in case people wonder why I'm not in the rest of the episode.
Yeah.
I got to go to bed. This house is, even if I was sitting further away,
echoey.
Too loud, probably for Michelle.
Yep, it's an acoustic guitar living in those kind of places. How about we can? Did you guys want to cut it there and continue talking when we catch up with the other guys in a few days? Because I think that's what we'd planned, wasn't it?
It's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah, sounds
good. Reveal the finalists and top three. Yeah.
And then we can discuss the finals and we can do like a quick recap, but then carry on into the more meaty stuff in the finals and.
Yeah, definitely.
So this is episode 49.5.
Yeah.
Worked out well, didn't it?
Hell yeah.
Interesting.
Good timing.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Oh, I didn't want to cut us off early. I thought you guys were going to keep going, but either way.
It's an hour. We've been talking for an hour, and it's not short or anything, so it's fine. No. Anyway, we can cut here, and we'll do a whip around when we catch up with the other guys, and we'll tack it all together.
Beautiful.
Sounds good.
I've heard that before, Dennis. It's not small. It's fine. I know the truth, mate.
Are we talking about podcast episodes or?
Yes.
Sure. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Why?
Okay.
Yeah. Brilliant idea, Dennis. Good work. Good
okay. Watch right, this. Lads. Watch this.
Thanks
space.
For listening.
All right. Catch us later.
All right. See you.